good to see everyone out this morning and those that are joining us online. It is, again, good to see everyone. Appreciate everyone being here. I read a story this week about an incredibly distraught man who went to the doctor, and he told the doctor he was afraid of dying, that everything he touched, it hurt. If he touched his leg, it hurt. If he touched his head, it hurt. If he touched his stomach, it hurt. Everywhere that he touched, it hurt. And so the doctor gave him an examination and finally said, I have some good news and some bad news. And the good news is that you're not dying. The bad news is that your finger is broken. Well, that can sort of reveal something in us, both physically and spiritually. Sometimes it's hard to diagnose ourselves, and that's what this series has been all about, diagnosing ourselves, looking at our lives and asking, where am I at right now? How am I doing right now? Where am I at with my walk with the Lord? How is my relationship with the Lord? But it can be incredibly hard to evaluate ourselves, and sometimes all we can do is go to the great physician and say, I'm broken. Please help me. The problem, I think, comes when we don't think we're broken. The problem comes when we don't think that there is anything wrong or that we need any help. Like we have everything so under control. And I'm guessing that most of us fall into one of two categories. And maybe at times we fall into both of these categories. Sometimes we're overly self-critical and we feel like we are totally beyond help. But we feel like that I've done too much wrong, I'm too broken, I've made too many mistakes, and we are overly self-critical. And then on the other hand, we can be overly self-confident. Well, we can think, well, I don't need any help, I'm doing okay. The real problem is with everybody else, not me. The people of Jesus' day, they fell into those categories as well. That there were people who were overly self-critical. They were being criticized by others, and they believed the criticism. They were being told that you're not good enough, you've done too much wrong, you're too broken, you're beyond help. And then there were other people who were self-confident, who didn't think that they needed any help, who believed that they had everything under control. They were doing things the right way. The real problem in Israel was with everybody else. They themselves felt like they had everything under control. And I think we need to realize this, that the gospel, it both humbles us and it helps us. For those that are overly self-confident and feel like that I have it all figured out, I don't need a great physician, the gospel humbles us. Jesus humbles us and says, yes, you do need help. And if you don't recognize that you need help, that you do need to make some changes, then I think you're probably in some very serious trouble. But the gospel also helps us. It doesn't just humble us, it helps us. For those moments when we feel like we are beyond help, the gospel says that this good news is for you, and you're not beyond help, and you're not so broken that the great physician cannot put you back together again. Jesus will forgive you and make you new and help you to take the next step by faith. So the good news both humbles us and helps us. In fact, as we look back and think back on the Sermon on the Mount, as we've been looking at all summer long, it really begins. Jesus begins by this sermon by saying, you guys might really be surprised who the blessed ones are. You might really be surprised about who is going to reign in the kingdom of God. You might really be surprised who the blessed ones are. And then he ends the Sermon on the Mount by saying, and you know what else? You might really be surprised by who the condemned ones are. You might be surprised by the ones who don't make it in at all. He begins by saying, you might be surprised by what kind of people are going to make up the kingdom. It's not the ones that you expect. It's the hungry. It's the thirsty. It's the broken. It's the poor in spirit. It's the meek. It's the humble. It's those that thought that they were beyond help. It's those that cried out, help me, Lord. I don't know what the problem is, but I know only you can fix me. It's those people that the kingdom of God will be filled with. Then on the other hand, you might be surprised at who doesn't make it in at all. You might be surprised because the people that you thought were going to be at the front of the line, it might be the most religious people that you've met in your life. And Jesus says, you might be surprised who's not making it in at all. And so we need to take these things seriously. If we think that this message or that this Sermon on the Mount was just for the people of Jesus' day, I think we're making a huge mistake. It's for us as well. And we have to stop and examine ourselves and ask, where am I right now? If I might be surprised who makes up the kingdom, and I might be surprised who doesn't make it into the kingdom, then maybe I need to take a good, long, hard look in the mirror and ask myself, am I a citizen of God's kingdom? So I want to read the text this morning, and then we'll sort of go back through and work our way through it. Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So let's work our way through that. Verse 21 says that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And notice here that Jesus says, "my Father." All throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has constantly and consistently talked about your Father or our Father. But here, as he wraps up the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "now listen, you need to understand that he is my Father. Because if Jesus isn't your Lord, then God is not your Father. If Jesus isn't your master, then God is not your Father. If you don't listen to Jesus, then God is not your Father. The only way to have a relationship with the Father is through Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, the King, the Master, the only begotten Son of the Father. For you and I, for you and me to have a relationship with God, then we must listen to Jesus. The Father is Jesus' Father before he is our Father. And Jesus says it's going to be the one who does the will of my Father. But look at the real contrast here. It's between those who say and those who do. The world is full of talkers, and the kingdom is full of doers. Even the religious world is full of talkers, those who say great things. Well, I believe this, and I believe that, and this is my opinion, and this is my doctrine. But the kingdom is filled with doers. And the contrast here is that Jesus is driving home at the end of the sermon, what he wants for us to examine ourselves upon is the fact that the world is full of talkers, but the kingdom is full of doers. It's one thing to say, "Lord, Lord," but it's another thing to do the will of the Father. But here's where we kind of need to be careful. Jesus doesn't say, or he doesn't really even imply, that by doing the will of the Father that you have somehow earned your place in the kingdom. That's not what Jesus is saying. You might say that kingdom citizenship isn't earned by doing the will of the Father. It's proved by doing the Father's will. You are proving that you are a citizen of God's kingdom by doing the Father's will. And by contrast, you are proving you are not a citizen of God's kingdom by not doing the Father's will. Again, you're not earning your spot by doing the Father's will. But you're proving whether or not you are a citizen of that kingdom. Jesus says, listen, it's not going to be those who talk a good game. It's not going to be those who say, "Lord, Lord," because there's going to be lots of people on that day that say, "Lord, Lord." It's going to be those who have done and doing the will of my Father. The world is full of talkers. The kingdom is full of doers. Verse 22 says, "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?'" And notice here again, on that day, on that day. We don't talk enough, maybe, about the day of judgment. I think we all know that history, whether we like it or not, it's always moving in a certain direction. It's always progressing. It's moving toward a climax, a point in time, a day in which the living and dead will be judged. And this isn't the day of your death. That's not the day of judgment. It's the day on which Jesus will oversee the judgment of everyone. Do we recognize that everything is moving in that direction? I know we can get caught up in our lives. In fact, our life so revolves around the same day in and day out, that the slightest bit of disruption, or like now, huge disruptions, throw everything into a tailspin. But how do we realize that there is coming a time when all of this is going to come to an end? Everything that is going on, everything that seems so important to you, everything that is happening is going to come to a screeching halt. And on that day, everyone will answer to King Jesus. Everyone will. Look at what he says. He says many. This is not the first time. If you remember back in verses 13 and 14, when he contrasts the two different paths that people take, the narrow and the broad path, he says that many will take that broad path, but few are going to take the narrow path. Here, he says that there are going to be many people that say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name?" You see, throughout history, religious people have typically always been in the majority, but kingdom people have always been in the minority. Kingdom people have always been the few. Religious people might be many, but kingdom people have always been in the few, the people who are actually listening and doing the Father's will. Whether that was ancient Israel or Colquitt, Oklahoma in 2021, notice some of the things he says. Prophesy in my name, cast out demons in my name, do mighty works or miracles in my name. These were religious people. We did all of these things in your name, Messiah Jesus. We did all kinds of things. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did mighty works in your name. These are religious people. There is a difference between being religious and being obedient. I'm not talking about baptism right now. Singing is important. Baptism is important. Praying is important. But I think we might fill in the blanks with those things as well. Wasn't I baptized into your name, Jesus? Don't I sing songs in your name? Don't I close every prayer with "in Jesus' name, amen"? And Jesus wants us to recognize, just like he wanted the people of his day to recognize, that you might be surprised who doesn't make it in to the kingdom of God. You might be surprised who's part of the blessed ones, because there's going to be a whole lot of religious people who find themselves not obedient. There's going to be a lot of religious people that did a lot of religious things in the name of God, or even in the name of Jesus, but weren't actually disciples of Jesus. We're not actually doing the things Jesus said to do. Weren't actually being the kind of people Jesus commands his people to be. Weren't actually following Jesus. There's a difference in being religious and being obedient. And Jesus says, "And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." And it occurred to me how similar this is to something David wrote in Psalm 6 and verse 8. There he says, "Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled, for they shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment." The Father listens to the Son, and the Son knows his people. Jesus knows who belongs to him. How does Jesus know who belongs to him? He knows because they do the will of the Father. Jesus says on the day of judgment, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of religious people who say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name?" But Jesus is going to say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Jesus knows who his people are and who his people are not. Jesus intends for this Sermon on the Mount and its message to both humble you and help you. Humble yourself if you think you don't need help. Humble you if you think you have it all figured out. Humble you if you think you don't need any healing, and when you realize you do, help you. Help you when you realize that you are broken and that you can only turn to the great physician and say, "Heal me, forgive me." And then Jesus, who not only helps us, forgives us, and heals us, but then he sends us out to do the Father's will. Not to talk about the Father's will, not to be talkers about what God wants, but to be doers. To do what pleases the Father, not again to earn our citizenship, but to prove this is who we are. This is simply what we do out of gratitude for what God has done for us. We began by saying that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is all about the fact that you might be surprised who is saved and who is lost. You might be surprised at who is blessed and who is condemned. But if you hear the sermon, there shouldn't be any surprises anymore. Too often we spend our life thinking that this is scary. But this shouldn't be scary for Christians. There's no surprises here. Listen, when you listen to what Jesus says, you won't be surprised when things happen later. Jesus is telling you this now so that you will know that it all comes down to this. Does Jesus know you? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Are you doing the Father's will? He's telling you this. This is the Father's will. Here's how you can live forever. Follow me and I will give you life. I will forgive you of your sins and give you a home in the kingdom. I will give you a seat at the table. If you listen to Jesus now, you won't be surprised later. The only ones who will be surprised later are those that don't listen to Jesus now. If you are listening to Jesus and you are following Jesus and you are accepting that forgiveness and mercy and grace of Jesus, and the assignment of Jesus is to walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, to do the Father's will so that you have nothing to be afraid of. You don't need to be afraid of the judgment day. You have nothing to be afraid of, and you don't have any surprises to expect. Again, the people who will be surprised are the religious people who did all kinds of things in God's name, but they didn't really listen to Jesus. And again, this whole series has not been talking about people out there. We're talking about us. I'm talking about the very real and distinct possibility that it is possible for you and I to do things in his name, to cry, Lord, Lord, to be religious people, to fill our lives with religious ceremony and ritual, but never listen to a word Jesus says. Listen to Jesus now, and you won't be surprised later. Those who are listening to Jesus, those who have clothed themselves with Jesus in baptism, who have been raised up to walk in a newness of life, to do the Father's will, have nothing to be afraid of on Judgment Day. But again, those who just go about their busy lives doing all sorts of things that they say is in the name of the Lord without really listening to Jesus, sadly, are going to have quite a shock on the day of judgment. So the question for us, the only question, is what judgment comes down to is this, is are you listening to Jesus? He will show you the Father's will. He will forgive your sins and transgressions. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All you have to do is be his disciple. We have to stop and ask ourselves, as Christians, am I his disciple? Am I listening to him? Am I following him? Maybe this morning you're not a Christian. We want you to know that now would be that time to change that. But any time is that time to change that. We are ready any time you are ready to put Christ on in baptism. Or maybe you're here and you're ready to recommit and rededicate your life to Jesus, or you just need the prayers of your brothers and sisters here. Please don't let what's going on in the world stop you from reaching out. We're in this together, and we want to help each other, and we want to listen to the words of Jesus and do the Father's will. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that choice as together we stand and we sing.